Well, I've got to introduce you to one of my very best friends in all the world. And I say that not reservedly. Norm and Nancy Beetler have been my friends for, I don't know how many years, but we're not counting, long time. And I'll tell you about this gentleman that really winds my clock. He is a worshiper, and he loves the Word of God. He is sincere, and he's an apostle of the faith. I asked him to come because they live now in Tennessee. They moved down there. They left us up here in Ohio. And they're complaining about how cold it is this week, poor babies. Anyway, but nonetheless, now just got a powerful testimony. He's got a couple of his companions with him tonight, and perhaps he'll do the introductions there. But, you know, when you love somebody and you really are in friendship with somebody, and then you have a love and a friendship with somebody else, don't you want those two to meet? So, Norm, I am in love tonight with this church. They're my friends. And I want you to know, church, that Norm is my friend, and I'm in love with him. So I want you both to meet tonight. So without further ado, come on, get up on your feet, clap your hands, welcome Norm Beeler as he comes from Buses International.
Well, thank you, friends. Any friend of Pastor Louis is a friend of mine. We have been friends for a long time. I think we quit counting about 30 years or something. But we've been knowing each other for a long time and ministered together, and it's wonderful. You know, the richest friendships in the world are in the body of Christ. They really are. They really are. And instead of being a preacher now, I sit in the congregation like you. And our pastor in Tennessee is 43. And we just love on him and support him. And you know what he does when he preaches? He looks at me all the time. You know why? Because I am with him, man. I am with him. And he knows it. I am supporting him all the way. And he knows it. So he looks at me a lot. And I just, that's kind of neat. Because I want him to know, I've got your back, buddy. Any sour grapes in the church, they better not talk to me. And none of them has. I think they see the support I lend to him and the closeness that we have. And so they don't come to me with any sour grapes. Maybe we don't have any. We're a perfect church. It's great to be here tonight. We have looked forward to this for some time. We were in your other location last September on a Sunday morning, right? No? Huh? December. Oh, been longer than that. Last December. So we visited you. That was our first time. So happy to be here tonight and to see some old friends. God bless you. And Lowell and Patty. Knowing them for a long time. Great to be here. I want to introduce Tom and Todd to you, who are really have taken over the ministry. Tom, would you stand, please? This is the president of Bus International, Tom Sykowitz. And share something, Tom. Come on, come over. Come over. I want you to use the microphone so they can hear you. Yeah, shake my hand.
Yeah. Well, Norm's been a great friend, mentor, and we are so pleased to carry on what he's going to share a little bit about. Just to share a little bit about what's going on in the ministry, we currently have a bus that we're working on right now inside the building, and this bus is they've already got one that's already working in the inner city, and they minister to 1,500 kids a week in a bus. I can't imagine ministering to 150 kids a week, and they do it to 1,500. And they're doing it through bringing them into this bus, take all the windows out, they put a loud sound system inside this thing, and they really make it rock inside so the kids standing outside can hear what's going on but can't see. And then they want to get inside to see what's going on. And in 20 minutes, they do a high-impact program ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to the inner city. And they're at where the rubber meets the road. And they're getting it done. And we're excited to be a part of that. Our next unit that's being brought in is kind of unique. It's going to Nigeria, Africa. First time that we're crossing that puddle going over there. And it's going to be a mobile OR. We have a group of doctors that are here in the United States that are Nigerian, and they were educated here, and they are surgeons that are here, and they go back to Nigeria, and they want something that they can take mobile and do major surgery in. Now, this is something new for us, but you know what? God has given us and opened some doors, and we're starting to pull everything together for that, and we don't know where God's taking this, but we're ready to get on the sled and start riding with him.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Have any of... Yeah. Yeah. I should have given a little explanation at the outset, I guess. Buses International is a Christian ministry. God, I'm going to tell you how God called me into it. But what do? Is we convert school buses into medical and dental clinics for developing countries. And we're 20 years old. Last September, we had our 20th anniversary banquet, which was a phenomenal thing. And but that's what we do, and that's what we've been doing all this time. And that's what Tom is sharing with you. How many have any of you ever seen the book called or the bus called Heaven Train? Heaven Train is a Nazarene ministry, and that's the ministry he's talking about, the inner city ministry, and how exciting that is. And I wish you could see some of the buses there. I am impressed because I remember how we started when we painted them with a brush, and they were kind of crude, the early ones. But then, we did it outside in northern Ohio, summer and winter. So there's a lot of things you couldn't do in the wintertime. But we got started. That's how we got started. And now we have a wonderful shop, and it's just incredible what God has done in 20 years. And so that's what Tom's talking about. Heaven Train Bus is the one that they're building right now. And then the OR, the operating room, will be, it's in a straight truck, first straight truck. You know what a straight truck is? That's a kind of a long truck, but it doesn't bend in the middle. It's called a straight truck. And it's a beautiful unit that'll be going to Nigeria. So that's very, very exciting. And that's a whole new branch of ministry to break into Africa. So that's what he's talking about. And Todd is administrator of the ministry. Come, Todd. You know, here's Sophia, something from you, too. Todd's a minister of the gospel. And
if we don't take the microphone away from him every once in a while, we'll be here all night. No, we are very thrilled because we are the second generation of Buses International. What Norma Nancy, the vision that God has given gave them back in 1988, stepping out in faith, stepping away from pastoral ministry, and Norm's going to share his testimony a little bit, and the work they did in the field of plowing, that's hard work. And Tom and I are coming along, and we are now taking the reins of that and going to take that to new levels and to new glories and to where the Lord would want to continue that ministry. And so we are very honored to be able to serve in this manner. We not only build these vehicles and send them to missionaries and churches around the world. We currently are in 10 different countries. We're working on unit number 80 right now that's in the shop. But we also do other types of special projects. And Norm's going to share a little bit of where the ministry started. The vision was in Mexico. We have done quite a bit of ministry there in Mexico. We take, in the summertime, we have taken 2 to 3 trips, mission trips, where those would come with us, with some of our specialized buses, and we go into the garbage dumps and into the colonias and minister alongside those churches that are there in those communities, and we do building projects and feeding programs and all of those kinds of things. We're going to be passing out a brochure at the end of the service that will give you a little bit more information about who we are and the types of things that we do. But CNC has been a longtime partner of the ministry. In fact, a founding partner of the ministry. And I know personally, I was a youth pastor in Elyria, which is pretty close to Lorraine. And I know that Pastor and Sister Tina, they have been a source of strength for me. As a young minister, 21, I heard their name and I saw them emulate Christ in their ministry. And you've got a good pastor. And you've got a good pastors, both of them. And we are excited about how God is using them. It encourages us as a ministry to, take new steps of faith and to believe God for greater things. And we are just very, very honored that you have given us time tonight to be able to share what God is doing with us. And we're praying for you that God will continue to shine out his light through you, and that we will see our communities, Northern Ohio, changed. And this will be a launching known throughout the world as the presence of God rests here in this place. So thank you so much.
Amen. 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 That is Todd Rainey. And we're so glad that Todd came along because he needed to come along in order for me to retire. And a lot of people don't understand. You know, some people said to me, you know, retirement's not in the Bible. But it sure was in my knees and in my elbows. When I get down on a creeper, I said, Tom, could you help me get up? And it was just time. I was doing the physical labor, building the units, and it was just time. And so God in his wonderful love and grace orchestrated all of it. And I just never thought of that, Todd, second generation of the ministry. Praise God. I didn't have a son to take over, you know. A lot of people have a son. Billy Graham had one. Oral Roberts had one. I didn't have one. I had a daughter. And a lot of people think Tom's my son. I guess that's that red hair. But I used to have red hair too, but now I just have a red head. But we're just really grateful for all that. In 20 years, it went past you kind of fast. I don't think you caught it. The building bus number 80. 80. That's a lot of units. That's a lot of units out there in the world. And you'll hear a little bit more about that in the message. But in order to try to stay on track, we need to turn to the Word of God. I appreciate what Pastor had to say. Two things I would like to be known as. I'd like to be known as a worshiper, and I'd like to be known a man of the Word. And we felt early on, God called us to the ministry. I'll tell you a little bit about that. And I said, Lord, every ministry that's worth anything ought to be based in the Word of God. Surely there's a scripture that really will become our scripture. This is it. In just a matter of a few weeks after we got our start in 1988, God gave us the scripture, Psalm 113. It is printed in our stoop at the shop. The stoop is the concrete part just outside the doors. I put it in that stoop so that it's there forever, Psalm 113. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. The psalm says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who's enthroned on high? Twice in those two verses, it speaks of the Lord as being high. That is not talking about elevation. That is talking about position. Position. The position of the Lord is there is no competition. There's no one else that sits in the authority where the Lord sits. His position is exalted above everything. Hallelujah. And that's why we worship him. Because it has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do whether it's a good day, bad day, rainy, sunshiny. Doesn't make any difference. It's because of who God is and the position that he holds. He is enthroned above it all. Hallelujah. And we worship him. That's why the book of Revelation has those sevenfold praises given forth two or three times. Glory and dominion and power and majesty, might. These are the things that belong to God and to God alone because he's high, not in elevation, but in position. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't that good? That's a powerful, powerful verse. And then verse 6 says, who humbles himself. Why does God have to humble himself? Well, not because he's high in elevation, but because he's high in position. Because of God's position, he has to humble himself. To do what? God humbles himself to do what? To behold the things that are in heaven. Oh, how could this be? How could this be? How could God need to humble himself to see what goes on in the perfect place called heaven? What goes on in heaven? Worship. Continuous. Wonderful, glorious worship. You read in the book of Revelation, you know, those people who are stuck on silent worship. It's so noisy there that it moves a post of the temple. Moves it.
because it's so loud and so filled with vibrance and so filled with life. This is what goes on in heaven. It's worship. Worship to glory to this awesome God who's high above everything. This worship goes on in heaven. That's what goes on in heaven. And yet the scripture says God has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven. What this ought to say to us is something about his position. Something about his glory, his dominion, his power, his majesty and might. If he has to humble himself, beloved, to see what's going on in heaven, wow! He is some God. I just was recently talking to some people of a very large church that you would quickly recognize. And they said they pray to the saints because God is a little too busy. Wow. Hello? That's not the God I read about in the Bible. You can't get God too busy. You can't get him too wrapped up or tied up. He's God. He's above it all. Hallelujah. You're not going to trouble him with your prayer or your request or your need or another thing because he's exalted. He is so exalted, he has to humble himself to see what's going on in heaven. To move you, I can't imagine what would. That's incredible. Incredible. And then it says, he also humbles himself to see what's going on right here. Now that, beloved, is not hard for me to understand. Because God sees the news when it's happening. He sees man's inhumanity against man. God sees all that. He sees it. And it's humbling for him to see that. What he wants from the earth. It's not what he has in mind for the earth. God sees all of that. Wow. But there's two sides to that coin. He also sees me. And he sees you. And he's so intimately acquainted with all of your ways that he knows the hairs on your head. For some of us, it doesn't take as long as it does for others. I don't know which group I'm in, but that's so wonderful to know that though God is awesome as he is, he's paying attention to what's going on the earth. Wow. Wow. Willing to observe it to the point of his own humility. You understand that? This exalted God, willing to observe what's going on to the point of his own humility. Wow, wow, wow. Sometimes we read the scripture and we're not grasping what it's saying. This is marvelous. This is wonderful. This is beyond description. He humbles himself to behold what's going on in heaven and on earth. Now I have something more. Some more news for you. He doesn't just look. He doesn't just behold. He's not just watching from afar. He doesn't just humble himself to see it. Next verse. It says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. I'm talking about this exalted God. I'm talking about the one who's high above it all. His position is unchallenged and unquestioned in the universe. And he not only looks, but he gets involved. He gets involved. Do you think that's incredible? How is it that this awesome God would get involved in your life and mine? How in the world is that possible? I don't know, but I'm sure glad he does. I am sure glad he does. You know something interesting about this verse? Hannah, when Samuel was born, remember Hannah? Prayed for Samuel. And when Samuel was born, there's a record of her song of thanksgiving. Do you know that in her song of thanksgiving, she said, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap? She says the exact words that are here. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Old Testament saints, by observation, were aware of the fact that God's involved in their lives. Isn't that good? By observation, they saw that. Hannah saw it. Whoever the writer of this psalm is, we don't know if David, I don't know who it is, but whoever wrote Psalm 113 was aware of it. Tells me they had observed it, that God, the awesome God, is involved in their life. Woo, man, oh man, oh man. That is so, so, so rich, so wonderful. How can you describe it? Now, how does God do that? How does God get involved? How does he raise the poor from the dust and lift the sheep? Sitting right here. Oh, I'm covering the antenna. Okay, thank you. Is it better? Okay, now you have to hear me. While I was sitting right there next to the anointed man of God, here's a thought that came to me. He raises the poor from the dust. You remember what the Lord said in Genesis 3 when he pronounced judgment upon the serpent? Remember what he said? You are going to, what? Eat dust. Now that doesn't mean he would live on dust. It's a figure of speech meaning you are going to be humbled. You are down there in the low place. God's in the high place above all. You are in the low place. A figure of speech expressing the humility the devil would have to endure. And then he says, and lifts the needy from the ash heap. In the Living Bible, it says, garbage dump. Garbage dump. And when we saw that, we were in a motel room in Findlay, Ohio. Wasn't it Findlay? Faustoria, Ohio. On a Saturday night, going to be there to share on a Sunday morning. And she's reading her Living Bible and she said, listen to this verse. We hadn't yet found our verse for the ministry. This is early on. She read that verse from the Living Bible and said, he lifts them from the garbage dump. I said, that's it. That's it. God put that in the Bible for us. That describes what God has called us to do. And that's what I want to tell you about tonight. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Isn't that an amazing scripture? Man. So back to my question. How does the Lord lift the needy? How does he lift the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump? How does he do that? In short, with you and me. That's how he does it. That's how he does it. He's going to use you and me. If the poor are going to be ministered to, it's going to be you and me. If the needy are going to be ministered to, those in the garbage dump, those who are hurting and destitute in life, and I see garbage dump as situations of our own making. The dust has to do with things the devil may influence in our lives. The garbage dump, has to do with things of our own creation. And don't we make a mess sometimes? Aren't some people's lives so messed up. Oh, just so messed up. So pathetic. So tore up. So messed up. The young fellow that shot his mother and hurt his dad real bad. His dad was Assembly of God preacher in Wellington, Ohio. I used to pastor that church. And Mark was so badly hurt he's out of the pulpit for 4 months. And Daniel's life is so messed up. His son's life is so messed up. He got 23 years to life. Messed up. That's a garbage dump. That's a mess. He's made a mess of his life because he rebelled against God, rebelled against the church, rebelled against his parents, going to do his own thing. The devil took him down a bad place, bad way. So how do they get lifted? By you and by me. I want to tell you what happened. We were in Mexico City. 58. Oh, it got till 8:30, right? 8:30. Okay, I'm okay. I told her to give me a signal. I saw that. I thought my time's up. You got panic there. In 1988, we had gone on a mission team, like thousands of Christians have done. We were in Mexico City and we were ministering in the garbage dump. The ministry I went with had built a church about half the size of this facility. It was real humble, cement blocks, tin roof, real, real humble. But it had something unique most churches don't have. It had a cistern. There's no electric there. It had a cistern and a little Honda generator. You start up the generator, it would pump up the water and pump the water into two restrooms where there were shower rooms where people could take a shower. This is in a garbage dump. Hundreds of people live in this garbage dump. And this church was there to minister to these people. And it had a dispensary of food and of clothing. All this in this humble little church of about 125 people had all this incredible ministry going on. We call it a full-service church. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be? Full-service church? Well, this was a full-service church. And so we were there working on that building, and we were ministering in that garbage dump. And we ministered to several others that week. And my wife was bathing children. Thursday was bath day, so all the children came. The parents brought the little children, and they were running water into these buckets, and they were bathing all these kids. And it was an incredible sight. I don't have a picture to show you of how dirty those little kids are, so unspeakably dirty, their hands. You can't even get all the dirt off with one bath. I'm not exaggerating. I don't believe in exaggeration. You cannot get all the dirt off with one bath. That's how dirty they are. And they were coming, and they were being bathed, and some of the men were working on putting a new metal roof over a small addition to the building. And around noon, I went down to see what Nancy was doing, and I found out that they had bathed 50 children that morning. So, I don't know if you've ever been a part of a bathing party, but 50 is a pretty good number to bathe in the morning. And they bathe this whole bunch of kids. And so I'm looking over this scene that they have a walled-in area behind the church. So many Mexican communities, they put a wall behind their house or behind their church, whatever. And it was a walled-in area there. And that's where the restrooms were, and that's where the kids were being bathed, and the dispensary was there, all that. And so I'm watching, and this, what a scene. Some little kids were naked, hadn't been had a bath yet. Some others were still dirty clothes, and others had already had a bath and clean clothes on. Hair was combed. And I'm standing there just looking at all of this, and here came this little kid. This is an incredible thing. He came from the other side of the walled-in area and took a bead on me and just started coming right my way. And he got right over here close to me, and he looked up at me with those big brown eyes they all have. His hair was combed, he had clean clothes on, and he looked so cute, and he went with both of his hands on his chest. And he didn't say a word, but I felt like I heard him say, "Hey, mister, I'm clean." That little kid was celebrating his bath. He was celebrating his bath. I've seen kids do a few other things over a bath, but I had never seen a kid celebrate his bath. He was celebrating his bath. I was moved by that, very impressed by that. And I reached over and ruffled his hair a little bit, and out of my life he went like a flash. It just seemed like at the same moment, the medical doctor who was with us, who had patients waiting in a line to see patients, all of a sudden here he is beside me. And he points his finger in my face, which they say you shouldn't do. And he says, "Norm, you need to bathe these people." So I said, "What do you think we're doing, doc? Did you see what's happening here? We are bathing them." You know, that was a message to me. On his way, he went back to what he was doing. Who sent him out there right at that moment to stick his finger in my face and say, "I need to bathe them"? You know, I would understand what's going on here. So rest of the afternoon, worked on the roof, went to bed that night. 1:30 in the morning, just woke up out of a sound sleep. And the Lord was dealing with me. I was seeing that little kid. I could see him in my mind. I could see his cute hair all combed, his little brown eyes. And I could see him doing like this. And I started praying for him. I thank God that I was part of a team that gave that kid a bath that day. And then I started thinking, my word, there's 10 garbage dumps in Mexico City. 10 of them. 100,000 people live in all 10 of those garbage dumps total. 100,000 people. Oh, my goodness. And I said, "Lord, somehow we need to take a bath to them." You see, every church didn't have a garbage dump. Only one. All the rest of them, didn't have a church. No way to give them a bath. So I'm thinking of a portable one. See, I said, "Lord, we need some way to give them a bath. How can we do this?" And just as I'm praying so intensely, the Lord dropped a school bus right down in my room. And I saw that bus from one end to the other. In the front was a medical care unit, and they were giving care and treatment to the children. And at the back, I saw a big water tank, and I saw batteries and pumps and hoses, and the water went out the back of the bus, and children were getting a bath. I saw it. Every detail of that bus, I could draw it out for you right now. 20 years ago. And I just burst into tears. I was just crying. God, show me this thing. I was crying. I had never had a vision before. I'd heard about visions. A lot of it probably caused by pizza, but I'd never had a vision before. I had a vision, and man, it was staring me in the face, and I just burst into tears crying. And of course, Nancy woke up. It's now 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, "Honey, what's wrong?" I said, "Honey, God has called me to build a shower bus." And she said, "What?" What do you suppose you'd say at 3 o'clock in the morning? There's some nut beside you, full of tears, crying, says, "God's called me to build a shower bus." She's a pastor's wife. She should have been more spiritual. She says, "Oh, glory." She said, "What?" And that was the beginning of this whole thing. That was in December 1988. And that vision's in my heart today as clear as it was that day. And it was only I started on the second bus. That's a long time, man, second bus. We're working on number 80. Second bus. Second bus came from Tom's church. And so he was a contractor. And so he, you know, he had his own time. He didn't have to work. He had other people that did work. He started hanging around because it was his church bus. So he started coming around and hanging around. And I said, "Help me with this." And he knows how to do electric. So, yeah, help me with electric, you know. And so he kind of came around and kept helping. And I said, "Why don't you go with me? We take this thing to Mexico." So he did. We took second bus to Mexico. We left on Thanksgiving Day. Really hit the fancy of the newspaper. They came and did a story on us. We hit the front page of the newspaper because we were leaving on Thanksgiving Day. So we took that bus to Mexico. This is how we got started. And then it wasn't long, and I said to Tom, "Maybe you just ought to hang up that contract thing and come help me. I needed help. My word, I'm working outside." And we built 17 buses outside before we had a shop. You know, if God put a vision in your heart, you're going to do it one way or another. Somehow it's going to get done. You know, that thing was just burning in me, and somehow it's going to get done. So that's how we got started and going and going and going. And I tell you one more story, and we're doing pretty good. We went to Guatemala. I have no idea what number of bus we delivered, but we took a bus to Guatemala, and we were visiting with this pastor, large church, about 10 or 12,000. It's huge. It was a great joy to preach there. You can't see everybody so big. And we gave him this medical dental combination bus. And he used it for years. We actually sent the first one to him. And then we went down to visit him. We were in Honduras, and we just jumped on a plane, went over to Guatemala. And we're there at the hotel, and he came to have a lunch with us and stuff. And we're sitting there at the table. And he'd been using this bus for maybe 3-4 years. And he said, "Really, guys, my bus is worn out." He said, "Could you build me another bus?" And he started telling us about how they'd use the bus. They had doctors and dentists in their congregation. You know, huge church like that, good chance you'd have all kinds of professionals. And he had doctors and dentists. And he said, we go out with that bus on a regular basis out into the mountains. And he said, "Could you build me a shorter one? Because those mountain curves, as we go around the curves," he said, "the back wheels don't want to stay on the road. You go around a sharp turn on a long bus, your back wheels end up over the side." So we said, we'll build you a shorter bus. And it was a gas. He wanted diesel and all this. And so we talked about all this. And we're sitting there at the table. He reached over and tapped me on the arm. And he said the most incredible words to me. He said, "There's no way that we could tell you the thousands of people that have been ministered to through that bus." Man, it's like my heart exploded inside of me. That's what we're about. That's why we did it. That's why God gave me the vision. That's why he supplied. That's why all the things happened and churches and Christians helped us. We sure couldn't have done it on our own. It took money to build the buses, and God miraculously has provided that all these years. Over $1 million. How's that possible? How is that possible? That's God. That's God. Because that exalted God, who's in position above all things, because he not only observes what's going on in the earth, he gets his hand involved. He gets right in there and gets involved. And he called me to do this. And we've been doing it for 20 years. And how does God do it? Your hand in mine. Your hand in mine. Have you gone on a mission team? We've seen hundreds of people. We've taken over 1,500 people to Mexico in the last 17, 18 years. We've been doing teams. And we see those people get out of that bus. You know, we drive down there, and we have our own buses, and we drive down there in those big buses and drive into someplace like a garbage dump or a colonia where they live in cardboard houses and dirt floor and heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching situations. And people get out of those buses and they go out there and they touch those kids. They touch those kids, and the kid needs a bath. So come with me. We don't speak Spanish. Come with me. We take them to the back of the bus and get the hoses out and wash their hair. It's just a simple little thing. How much difference does that make? I'll tell you how much difference it makes. It's brought people to Christ. Hundreds to Christ because we washed their hair. We gave medical care. We did whatever we could do. Simple little things. What did Jesus say? He said, a cup of cold water. That's not a big deal. You don't have to give him $100,000. A cup of cold water in his name works miracles. That's how God does it. That's how God does it. I encourage you to get on board with what God's wanting to do, because his people here and in other places in this country and in other countries where God wants to reach out and lift the poor from the dust. Lift them from the influence and the power of the enemy into his glorious kingdom. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. That's what he wants to do. And how does he do it? You and me. And there's no age limit. We've taken children who have had incredible encounters with the living God. And we've taken people in their 70s to Mexico. So God, it don't make any difference. If you want to go, talk to us. We'll work it out for you. Maybe next summer you can go. Anyway, that's our story. We're sticking with it. Listen, your calling from God may not be as dramatic as mine was. You may not have a vision. I know God doesn't give everybody a vision. I understand that. I pastored for years. I didn't have that kind of a vision, you know, or a life-changing encounter with God. It may not be that dramatic, but you know what? It's just as valid. Just as valid. Whether it's in your heart or whether you've seen it with your spiritual eyes, just as valid. Just as valid. And God will honor it and use it, and he'll lift the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. By your hands. By your hands. So we have a DVD that shows our 20th anniversary. Our banquet, it shows what we showed at the banquet, and we want to show that to you tonight. So you guys ready to run it? Did I catch you off guard? Okay, you're ready to go. Here we go. Thank you.
one of the trips that I went on with Buses International, a woman and a relatively well-dressed woman came to the bus, and she told me that she had cancer in her throat. And I thought, well, how does she know she has cancer in her throat? Because there was a language barrier. My Spanish isn't that great, and her English was only a few words. We sat her down in the chair in the bus, and I looked in her throat, and not having seen cancer many times myself, it was obvious she had cancer in her throat. She had a golf ball-sized lump on her soft palate, and I thought, I can't do anything for you. I said, you have to go to the hospital. I can't do anything for you. And through enough words between us, I understood that she said that she had been to the hospital, that they would not help her because she didn't have any money. And I tried to get her to leave because I couldn't do anything for her. And she insisted that I remove the cancer for her. And I thought, look around you. As nice as a bus this is, you know, I can't do surgery here. I have a little anesthesia. I have some extraction instruments. We might be able to do a rudimentary filling. But this is a golf ball-sized tumor on her soft palate. And she insisted that I take it out. And I finally said to her, in my human way, as if it were some consolation, let's go out and pray. And I had an 8-year-old boy there who translated that for me. He said that to her, and we went outside, and he started praying for her. That was little Renee. And we gathered a group around her and prayed for her. A year later, she came back to the bus. Her tumor was gone. It was amazing. I learned a huge lesson from that. I can't treat anybody. God treats.
Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Hallelujah. The tumor was gone. Now, the reason why I wanted Norm and his team to be here tonight is to expose you to something that is very practical, because when we are in a move of God, God requires two things of us. He requires us to be receptors, to receive from him. The anointing and the impartation and the stirring of our spirits. But when we're also in a move of God, he also requires us to release that anointing and to give that anointing and to give that to those who are in need. And that's why I believe that Buses International, after 20 years of ministry, is one of the most sincere, practical, rubber meets the road ministries that I've ever seen in all of the years that I've pastored. I've been to the bus shop. I've been there. I've seen it. I've watched these gentlemen work. I've seen their dedication and their commitment and the effects of taking these buses into garbage dumps and taking them into colonials that have no hope and no help, nothing. And the power of God over a child that was getting a bath. Now, we do a lot of work in Haiti, and we know what we're talking about. When you say you have to take more than one bath, we've taken children off the street where 2 and 3 and 4 baths, and the water was still muddied, scrubbing them, trying to get this dirt off of their skin, away from their bodies. But can you imagine competing with wild dogs and vultures for your food? That's exactly what happens. These children go through and pillage through decaying garbage every day of their life and have to beat dogs with a stick. I've seen it with my own eyes. And big, ugly vultures have to be shooed away by one group of children while other children are pillaging, looking for something to eat. That scripture, Norm, is very powerful. That God sees us in the earth. You know, I was thinking about that tonight. We were standing out at the door, and your cousin's first name again with the cancer? Michelle, yeah. Michelle was here last week. And we prayed for Michelle with this tumor on her side. You know, that just helped me to see God sees her garbage dump situation. And, you know, some of us are in that condition tonight. We've got garbage dumped on us. You know, and we're in the dust heap. But God knows where we are. And God knows where you are. And we're going to pray here in a little bit because I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit to just come in there and say, Jesus, look into our garbage dump situations. Look into our dust heaps and lift us up, God, because I believe that's what he wants to do. But before we do that tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to do a couple of things. Number one is to think about joining Buses International on a team to go all the way to Mexico and minister to these children. You could cut hair. You could help them brush their teeth. You could give them a shower. And every Christmas, too, by the way, you didn't talk about this. You saw it up on the screen. They put together thousands of shoeboxes with practical gifts in them for boys and girls, and they take them to Mexico. Now, last year you took, what, 5,000 or so? 5,000 boxes? And they take them to the children and present them as gifts. That's one of the ways that we as a church can be a part of a simple thing of giving out to others. And then also you take teams of up to, what, 20 on a bus? Wow. And they drive a few hours to Mexico from here to Ohio. And it's 36 hours or so. And it's a long way. But for a very minimal fee, I think it's like, what, $800 or something? Or is it? It's growing. Fuel. But okay, maybe a little more. But it's a very practical way to think about taking you and your family on a missions trip to Mexico like that. What a change of life. But I'd like for us to support them tonight and do all that we can. So I want to receive a gift offering for them. And I pray that you'd be generous tonight to these gentlemen. I know they live a very humble life. They live a very meager life. It's nothing of extravagance. I know them very well. Sincere, loving brothers who do the work of God. And so I'm going to ask, first of all, that you would be open to the Holy Spirit to sow into somebody else. Would you do that? Sow into these children. Now, the entirety of this offering is going to go to the Buses International. Perhaps we can be a part of this 80th bus that's getting ready to roll out. However we can do it. But you can make a check out to CNC, and the entirety of it will be given to them. We'll take it to the accounting, and they'll figure it out, and they'll write the check to the Buses International. But if you can do something tonight that's significant, that would be great. $10 might be significant for you. I don't know what it is. Maybe 50, maybe 100. Maybe God's really spoke to you like he spoke to Norm in the middle of the night and said, you need to give those children a shower. Well, you can significantly be a part of a bus, and sometimes it takes thousands of dollars, doesn't it, to rehab a bus? 2 to 3 to 4 to 10? How much? The surgical bus for Nigeria is $93,000 for one school bus. So you think about that. And you may want to be significantly involved in that. So make a check out to CNC. And while you're doing that, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the sweet anointing that's in this room. Lord, we heard a word from you. We heard a word about how you have to humble yourself to look into our situations, but you do it. Now, Lord, we sacrifice, and to some it's a great sacrifice, to others not as great. But, Lord, we sow tonight to this ministry to say, you have friends here on the east side of Cleveland. And, Lord, thank you for covenant. Thank you for relationships. Bless this offering now for your kingdom's sake. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may receive that offering. I also feel tonight, and I'm going to ask the team if they would, please come on up here, Norm, Nancy, and Todd, and Tom, and just spread yourselves across. We don't have a lot of room up here, but we make do. And we just really want to pray a prayer for those that this word resonated in your life about the God coming down in a very bad situation. And he says, you know what? I know what's happening, and I'm going to touch you. And I'm going to rescue, I'm going to lift you up out of that. You can go ahead and receive the offering if you've started. Okay, good. So right now, I just want us to, after you've given, I want you to stand. And I want you to begin to worship the Lord and just lift up your hands and invite the Holy Spirit to come into this room. Right now, Holy Spirit, we invite you, Holy Spirit. We invite you, living God, to invade this room tonight. To look down, oh God, from your high exalted place and see your precious people, who many of them are in the dust, the ash heap, who have fallen, oh God, into a garbage dump situation. But Lord, you are the God that redeems and lifts and elevates. Hallelujah. So we declare your glory in this room right now. Father, we speak life over Michelle. We say Michelle is the healed of the Lord. We command cancer to leave her body. We thank you, Lord. Just, it's not a mistake, church. We heard of a woman on a screen of a year ago whose cancer tumor in her palate was healed. Then blessed be the name of God. Michelle's cancerous tumor can be healed too. I believe that. That's a word of God. Hallelujah. It's a word of God. So we send the word to Michelle. And just say it with me. In the name of Jesus, we command cancer to go out of Michelle's body. In Jesus' name. Go! Say it again. Go! In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, just pray in the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord, that you're not afraid to come into our ash heap. You're not hesitant to come into our garbage dump, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. If you need prayer tonight, can I invite you to come? Let this team begin laying hands on you. They've seen miracles. They've seen how God has lifted those who have been in trouble. And I believe they've got faith tonight. Hallelujah. So just come as you feel led of the Lord. You walk from where you're standing and join with one of these. Father, we're going to receive the glory of God into our lives right now. Thank you, Lord, that there is healing virtue in this room. There is deliverance in this room. Thank you, Lord, that there is peace in this room. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer of our sorrowed hearts. Lord, you are the restorer of our broken lives. And God, we believe you right now that you're able to do miraculous things, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, turn it around tonight. Turn it around in our lives, God. Turn it around. Father, expand our focus on the kingdom of God. I thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, that you are getting us to see your kingdom much bigger, Lord. So tonight, we're waiting on you, Lord. We're waiting on you, Jesus. We're waiting on you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him. Come on, let's worship him.
We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me.
Thank you, Lord.
Agree.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it tonight, God. There's great faith in this room.
We're all a part of God's body. Say, I need you. I need you. You need me. You need me.
Come on, Jesus.
We're all a part.
Come on, Jesus.
All a part.
Have your way, Jesus.
Stand with me, agree, agree.
We agree with you, Lord. We agree with your word, Lord. a hand. Can you begin releasing your faith into their life? Come on, do it right now. Come on, begin to release your faith into their life. Lord, I don't know what my brother's going through. I'm not sure I know what my sister's going through. But I know this, God. You are keenly aware of what they're going through. And you are right now here. You said, Father, where there are two or three, there you are in the midst of us. So, Jesus, we pray now, Father, for a fresh anointing, a special anointing, a new anointing to fall, Father, upon the life of the one whose hand I hold. Now, now, loose them, Lord. Loose them, God, I pray. Father, let the Holy Spirit move into their lives. In the name of Jesus, we'll give you all the praise, Lord, and all the glory. Amen. Amen. May I have my Bible there, please? Lord Lowell, thank you very much. I just want to share with you tonight before we're dismissed. All day long, I was in the Word studying for next Wednesday. And I've got to share one verse with you. I really believe that it's going to kind of piggyback what you shared tonight. Because you see, what happened to Norm is he saw children having a bath. And it really didn't change him. Until he saw it a second time. And when he saw it a second time, it became rhema to him. And it altered his entire life. The psalmist said this, God has spoken once, and twice I have heard this. It's information the first time you get it, but it'll become revelation the second time you hear it. And I'm telling you, next Wednesday night, the spirit of knowledge and revelation, it takes two times to hear the voice of God before it becomes manifestation. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But knowledge has to become revelation. And God wants to hear. He wants us to hear his voice twice on the same thing. And I'll tell you what, you bring somebody next week because I've got so much faith. I'm believing for miracles. That's what I believe. I really do. I got a feeling we're going to see a revival out of this truth about Hallelujah. God said it and I heard it twice. I really believe that. Hallelujah. Because revelation destroys the destruction that we had coming when we didn't have knowledge. But now that I've got the revelation, not just knowledge, it's going to destroy the destruction that the enemy had planned for my life. It will turn it around. I think we need some turnaround stuff in the kingdom of God. Amen. I know that we do. We need some turnaround stuff. So, I'm just going to kind of whet your appetite a little bit. Let's believe God. And let's believe together that somebody's destruction can be destroyed. That's the word I got today. I said, Lord, that's kind of a funny word. He said, tell the people that their destruction will be destroyed when they hear my voice a second time. So right now, let's just posture ourselves and say, Jesus, we're ready to hear you. We're ready to listen to your voice, God. We want to know you. We want to hear you. We want to receive from you, God. We are hungry to hear a word from heaven. We're not satisfied with what we've known. We want more. We want more of you, Jesus. We want all that there is, God. And Father, I speak that word right now. I declare it over this congregation that you are going to destroy the destruction that was planned for the lives of people, individuals, families, businesses. It doesn't matter. God said, I'm going to destroy the destruction because you heard my voice not once, but twice. And I want you to take that if that's something that's meaningful to you, in Jesus' name. Well, we love you, and we're thankful for you. Couldn't hardly wait to get here tonight to see all of your faces. So we'll see you again on Sunday. Hey, it's Father's Day Sunday. We've got a message for the fathers. We're going to talk about Jairus, what a man of God, and then Isaac blessing his son Jacob. It's going to be good. So bring the dads with you, and we'll see you that on that Sunday morning, right? At 11? No, 12? What time do we meet? 12. 10 over the other place, but 12. So you love everybody. Don't pick and choose. Pray hard, not light, because times are really difficult, right? Amen? And what else? Live right, not wrong, okay? Because when you live right, you are exalted in the presence of God. We love you. God bless you, and good night. Oh, the information, where can they get it? They're going to give you information on their ministry right at the door, so you gentlemen ought to hurry up before the people get out. Thank you so much. Drive safely on your way home.